My name is Wainima Morris. My Umaha name is Mihusa. And I want to talk about the very little known fact, it seems, about the origins of the what we call the powwow. And the Umaha people have a tradition. We have been dancing for at least 201 years, if not longer. Oral tradition and oral history has us dancing for almost forever. But since we have to date things like this, we've dated them from an entry by Lewis and Clark when they had come up the Missouri River and they wanted to see the Omahas. When they went to our village up by Homer, Nebraska, they found that we were not home. They made an entry that we were probably off on the summer hunt, which is probably exactly correct. But nevertheless, in order to date the powwow, we use that entry from 1804. And so when Lewis and Clark, we had their commemorative celebrations or their commemoration last year at 200 years or their bicentennial, the Omaha people also celebrated their bicentennial for dating their traditional dance. The Omaha celebration for this is called Hedewachi. And under the Hedewachi, there are all kinds of things that happen. It was an annual event. It celebrated not just one singular event, but events throughout the year that had happened and occurred within the tribe. This is the time to recognize bravery. This is the time to recognize courage. This is the time to break the mourning for people who may have lost loved ones on a previous hunt or perhaps even during that summer, because hunting buffalo on the plains was a very, very dangerous enterprise and one that absolutely had to succeed if the tribe was going to survive for yet another year. So we dance for a reason. And the story that was told to me as handed down to my grandfather, Samuel Thomas Gilpin, to one of his numerous sons, Joseph Gilpin, was that the Umahas danced to give thanks to the Creator. And the story is that once long, long, long ago, long before the coming of the Europeans, the Umaha people were starving. They had nothing to eat. Game itself was very scarce, and pretty soon things got to the point where they started to cut up their teepees and their moccasins and began to boil the leather just for some sort of sustenance. Every day the hunters would go out and look on the plains and see if they couldn't find some indication of where the buffalo might be. So one day there was probably about four hunter warriors who were out on the plains and were looking for the buffalo one more time. They were tired, they were exhausted, they were hot, they were hungry. And they got on this high hill and they looked all around. And of course it was empty, it was bare. They looked to the north, the south, the east, the west. They looked all over and it was totally bare. There was nothing there and they were discouraged. And all of a sudden, this big, booming voice came out and said, "Look around you. Get on your knees. And they looked at each other, and they looked around as they were directed, and they got on their knees, and they could see that none of them had given that great, big, huge, commanding voice. And it said again, "Look around you." And so they did, but by then they were trembling and they were very, very much afraid, and they knew that they were in the presence of something holy, something beyond them, something very, very powerful, and that it was something extremely new, supernatural. So they looked around and then they realized that they were in the presence of something that had never happened to anyone that they knew of before. And so they continued to tremble and be afraid. And then this big, huge voice said, "Stand up. Stand up." And so they did as they were told. And this voice said, "Do you see the sky? Do you see the sun? Do you see the ground beneath which you walk? And they looked at each other and gave indications of, yes, yes, we see all this. They were afraid to speak. And this boy said, I made these things. Do you see the rolling hills? Do you see the grass? Do you see the stream over in the distance? I made those. All those things that you see, the stars at night, the moon that shines, and the sun, I made those. All of those are mine. They belong to me. And then they knew that they were in the presence of Wakanda, the creator. And so they looked around and they fell to their knees one more time because they couldn't stand in the presence of the creator. And so the voice said, stand, as I've told you. You know who I am. And they nodded assent, yes, yes. And he said, now, look, go to this high hill, the one you just came from. Go look. So they were very frightened, and they didn't want to disobey, so they immediately got up in this presence and went to this high, high hill. And when they got to this high hill, where they had been previously, and they looked around, the creator said, now tell me, what is it you see? And they looked, and the prairie was just black with buffalo, where there had been none before. There was noise. They could hear the buffalo stamping and talking to each other and very content because they were eating the grass and they were drinking at the stream. And the creator said, this is all yours. I know what is happening to my Umaha people. I've heard your prayers. I know that you are starving. I know that you have nothing to eat. I know that you are starting to eat your moccasins and to cut up your teepees. I know that you are near death. And he said, now go. I have heard your prayers. You go home and you tell the people to come here and they can take all the buffalo that they need to keep them from starvation. But you must do one thing in remembrance of me. As long as you do this, never again will the Umaha people starve. Never again will you die from hunger. But you must do and remember this one thing. When you are finished with the hunt and you have put up all the meat and you have all the food for the coming year, you must dance to give me thanks. And so long as you dance to give me thanks and to remember me, the Umaha people shall endure forever. So they went home. They were very happy. They were tired, they were weak, but they told their chiefs of this great thing that had happened to them. So immediately the Umaha people set out in the direction that the Creator told them to go, and there was the buffalo, and they hunted to their heart's content, and they were saved from starvation. When they came back, they told the story again, and so the warrior said, we know how to sing. We know how to dance, and after all our meat is put away, we will have this dance. We will do the Hedewachi. This is how we will remember the Creator. This is our dance to say thank you. And so it was, and from that time on, the Umaha people have been dancing every year since. My mother, she's 83 years old this year in 2005, she said for as long as she can remember, there was always a dance. That even during the world wars, even during the Great Depression, even during all these great world upheavals, the Umaha people would always gather together as a tribe and as a nation, and they would dance. And so this is our tradition. We are, and we consider ourselves to be the oldest powwow, but we don't call it that. Our word for that is Hedewachi, and it's the nearest translation would be harvest dance or harvest festival in time to gather up all the fruits of the prairie and, of course, to return from the hunt and to distribute the meat and all of the other vegetables and berries and corn and wild other things that would grow for the year so that they would not starve and that the tribe would endure for yet another year until the next buffalo hunt. So our Hidewachi, our dance, is, again, the oldest in the United States. Other tribes try to claim it. It's not to say that they don't have some sort of tradition, but what we're saying is this particular form. The Omahas always put their drum in the center, and only the center. And the reason why we dance is to recognize that there is only one creator, and the one creator is always in the center of our lives. Intertribal people who don't understand that, and I'm not trying to offend them, but they don't understand that. But they saw this dance, and it spread like wildfire. And so they began to put their drums off to the side. And that's okay, because essentially it's dancing. And for the Omaha people, we have to give dance to give thanks. So we celebrated our 201st annual Hidewachi this past August. And again, it was because we had to give thanks and to remember the Creator. So that's the origin of our dance. That's our story that we tell about ourselves. And we dance for a reason. We don't just dance because it's fun to have a powwow or fun to do an intertribal. The Omaha people dance for a reason. And that reason is to give thanks to the Creator. So that's one of the things that I'm always interested in, and I always want to tell that because some tribes know this. I will say that the Lakota people, they know it because we took our dance and our songs to them, even though a long time ago we were enemies. Despite that, we had friends among various ones of them, and we took our grass dance to them. We took various kinds of green corn dance to them. We took different kinds of songs and dances to them, and they remember it. And when they gather for their annual dances, they, much to their credit, give credit to the Omaha people. And they say, this dance is the Omaha dance. Or they'll say, this is the Omaha grass dance. Or they will give us credit in some way. And I think, I don't know if other tribes are aware of this, but they never give thanks. They don't even know where it comes from, but the Lakota people, they do, and they give us great thanks for giving them this form of dance and celebration. So that's all I have to say about that. I have other things I tell about the Omaha people, which I could go on for hours and hours, but that's one thing that I always wanted to sort of set the record straight for the rest of America, so that people know where this colorful dance comes from, where it started from and how, but most importantly, why. So the tribes from Oklahoma, we must have gone down there. We shared that with them, but there are seven groups of the Dehiga speaking group of the Omahas, and that's the Omaha, Oto, Iowa, Ponca, Quapaw, Osage, and Oto? Anyway, there's seven different groups that speak a form of that dialect. And so maybe it was the Osages or the Poncas who were in Oklahoma who showed them that dance. And so you have a lot of fancy dancers. It's gone through lots of different changes, different styles of dancing to express who we are as Indian people. And that's good. That's fine. I'm glad it has grown. But the Omaha people have an obligation to dance. So it doesn't matter whether or not we just have a powwow to have a powwow. Ours is an obligation from way, way long time ago, and I'm proud to say that we're still carrying on that tradition. It's changing. Our young ones are not cognizant. They don't know of some of this, and so they change it. And what they do is they bring a lot of intertribal back into our arena. Our arena is sacred. It's blessed in the early, early morning when that little 4 o'clock star shows in the horizon at 45 degrees angle. The Omaha people from long, long time ago selected a certain member of a certain clan that had the responsibility to smoke tobacco and to consecrate that dance ground. And he would smoke tobacco and he would bless the people and he would bless the endeavor. And then that tobacco would be buried on the east end of the entrance. I'm not so sure that was done this year. But nevertheless, the form was there, and this is what we talk about, loss of the culture. But nevertheless, the older ones, myself included, I guess we have to be satisfied that maybe it wasn't done exactly as we were taught and as exactly as we were told, but at least we still danced. And so that's the main thing that we can now count on.